Let's start with the prayer. Father, thank you that we can come to your word. We ask you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit may be our guide, that we may be able to have ear to hear and eyes to see, and we may be able to receive and apply the word to our life. Lord, that we may realize how important the Holy Spirit is for us, because without him, we cannot go very far. We are limited in the things that we understand, the things that we can receive, the things that we can experience. The Holy Spirit is the one working in us, guiding into all truth, Lord, that we may find more truth today, tonight, and that, Lord, your direction may just open our eyes, Lord, in new things, Lord, in ways that we can benefit, Lord, from what Jesus did for us. We praise you and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, for the things you have done, Lord. And we appreciate, Lord, everything you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. I wanted to, you know, was going to move on, but after the meeting, you know, the Lord showed me something else I want to add to what I said last week. If you remember, I talked about false prophet and false teachers, and you know, the way that we can recognize them. Okay, in the, you know, in the narrow gate teaching from Jesus, we can see, you know, how he stressed out that you know, we, these people coming sheep clothing, that means that they superficially looked okay, but their motivations are wrong, and they are just a ravenous wolf. That means, you know, their intentions are really to take advantage of you and to use you instead of really helping you. And, you know, the interesting thing that he said there was the fact that, you know, from a good tree, only good things have come out, and from a bad tree, only bad things come out. So he said, by the fruit, you can know them. So a bad tree cannot have good fruit, and the good tree cannot have bad fruit. Now, if you take that to an extreme, you know, you come to the conclusion that when they do something bad, they do everything bad. And really, that's not the case. Okay. What he's talking about, you see, he's not talking about anything that we see that they do and produce. Okay, he's talking about the fruit specifically. And so the fruit is what comes out of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. You see, the fruit of the Spirit is not something that we do ourselves, is the natural outcome of the operation of the Holy Spirit inside us. So the actual, a natural outcome of the Holy Spirit inside us, when it's the Holy Spirit, cannot be bad. And so this, you know, that's why we had to look at the fruit and not at everything that they do or everything that they say, because they're going to say the things that are going to be making look like sheep. They're going to, and really, you know, even the things that sometimes they teach or they say are not all of them wrong. Many of them are right, okay, but it's difficult for somebody that is exposed to these things to separate the right thing from the wrong things. And this is why we have to be careful, because it's easy by following somebody's logic to end up accepting their ideas. Okay, so, you know, the point is, so how do you recognize? Well, you can recognize by the fruit. What are the fruit? What are the fruit of the Spirit? The love, peace, patience, you know, and so on and so forth. But if you don't know personally the person, and you are not close to the person, how are you going to identify these things? It's very difficult for you to identify these things, because they are something that are not physical, okay? And they are evident only to people that are close by and they deal with them, okay? So, you know, especially in today's situation, say, you know, in the past, you know, most of the people were in contact, you know, there was not TV, there were not internet, there were things. So, you know, now people in the internet, they are just fake, most of them. You want to own all this social media, you can trust anybody. And that way they take advantage of people, they do things that are really completely wrong and immoral, but that's what happens. That you actually cannot control things that the people say, and they put up a show, and they are damaging instead of helping. That cannot happen to the same extent, and it can happen to a certain extent, but to a certain extent cannot happen when it's a personal contact. But, see, that's the thing I want to add now today that is in addition to what I said last week. You see, Revelation, okay, doesn't bring any new things, but explain things. And sometimes the explanation and the understanding increases as time goes by. And so the Lord spoke to me afterward and said, but there is a way in which you can see the spiritual result anyway, even if you are far away. And that is by their doctrine. People that spread doctrines that are non-scriptural, that they break the truth that are shown in the Bible, you know they are false prophets, because the idea of that, that didn't come from the Holy Spirit and didn't come from God. Come from their ideas, because the Holy Spirit is going to guide us, you know, to all truth. So the Holy Spirit couldn't have taught these things to them. So that is in one way, but, you know, we have to know the Bible. We have to know, you know, the really have the understanding. So, you know, somebody, new believers is not capable to really have that kind of discernment. And sometimes it's even difficult to identify this, you know, erroneous belief or doctrine. But the Bible is really clear in for example, Timothy and so on, you know, talking about doctrines of demons. Okay, this idea come from, you know, the wrong motivation and the wrong desire that they have, that I wish they open up themselves to the Spirit, that bring up wrong doctrines, that, you know, there could be a lot of other doctrines that are okay, but this end up spreading and producing problems. Is that clear? Do you see how that can help in identify things? If you can identify the wrong doctrine, you have to, this is why, you know, any doctrine, an idea, you have to question it. You have to see, okay, does the word says that? There is anything in the word contradicting it? Doesn't matter where it's coming from. Sometimes we can be wrong. And so we have to be careful. You know, when somebody works in that way, I give you an example. Okay, for example, in the prophetic movement of today. Okay, they change completely the rule of the prophetic work. Now, that's not it's completely unscriptural. There is no place in the Bible that says that there's anything changed. But they changed it so that they now can say, well, you know, it doesn't matter. We don't need to be accurate. We don't need to, you know, if you are, you know, accurate sometimes, it's good enough. I'm sorry, that's not what the Bible says. If you say the Lord said, you better make sure the Lord said that. Why say, I said that, and I can accept that. But if you say God said, and it's not God, I'm sorry, I don't believe you, I don't want to hear you. Because you are actually misrepresenting God, if it's not true. So that is really a new doctrine that is not a God doctrine dictated by God.
Can I get clarification on something, Maurizio? Mm-hmm. So what I'm hearing you say is, if somebody, you know, maybe a pastor, okay, and they give a prophecy that ends up being false,
there are different prophecies. There is the gift, there is the ministry of the prophet, and there is the gift of prophecy. There are two completely different things, and they confuse these two. The gift of prophecy is nothing else than, an utterance to encourage people, to lift them up, but there's not any prediction in it. What they do, people, they start making prediction through the gift of prophecy, which is completely wrong. That's not the job of the gift of prophecy. It's written in the Bible that the gift of God is for exhortation, for encouragement, and everything else. Nothing else. The fact that somebody has a gift of prophecy doesn't make them a prophet.
Right.
Okay. Majority of the prophets, sometimes they don't go around and say, "Thus said the Lord." Okay. When they really know, says, "The Lord told me this, I tell you." Thing so, is, people so like this. People like the title and like the things. That's the problem.
So if somebody says, you know, "The Lord says," okay, and it's I guess that
in a prophetic way. This is going to happen. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
That sounds like a prophet to me, or at least someone who
so thinks he's a prophet.
That. Pardon
or
me?
Thinks he's a prophet.
Or thinks, right. And if they're wrong, that means like you the way we approach, like, because sometimes I hear a teacher and they say things like they say good things, but then there's some things which we say, okay, I know that's wrong, but I can recognize it, and I may listen to them again, but mm-hmm. I know that I can't believe everything they say. But what you're saying there is, no, when somebody says that,
yeah, but no, if there's somebody that's a teacher, it doesn't say that I'm a prophet,
right?
Okay, so it's got a completely different story. But somebody that wants to be a prophet and goes around saying he's a prophet and prophesies stuff that is going to happen, it doesn't happen, the word says, don't listen to him.
Baby in bathwater, garbage.
That's right.
Right?
You can realize that God said, it's not me talking to him, don't listen to him. That's what the word says. The word doesn't change. The gift of the prophet hasn't changed.
Okay, thank you.
So that I find that faulty with the present time and the distortion from what the Bible says. I'll give you an example. For example, that is very easy to identify. Okay. All right. So that I think that completes the thing about, you know, that doesn't mean, you know, depends, you know, what the person does. And sometimes, you know, people teach us the wrong thing. It's not because they got the idea, but because somebody taught them and they believed it and they are being naive enough to take it. There are currents of doctrines that just are completely unscriptural, but lots of people follow. Okay, well, that is because somebody started it. That the person that started, you know, that has a problem. He is the one who got the revelation, quotation mark, that actually wasn't coming from God, and they think it's God. And so, really, new things come from prophets. Or people that think they are prophets. But the important thing to understand that no matter, you know, never are completely new things. I should be matched by the word. The truth is the truth and has to fit with the old truth that was revealed before. If something is contradicting what says revealed before, then it's not truth anymore. And Jesus said it very clearly many times, you know, I didn't come to, you know, himself. He says, you know, I didn't come to, you know, eliminate or destroy the law. You know, I came to fulfill the law, but the law by itself cannot do it. I'm showing you how to do the things. But the law, you can still use it, because that's what is going to teach you and give you the guideline, if you want, on what to do and what not to do. But you should do much more. I mean, you don't need to go and commit adultery to know that you are breaking a commandment. You just, you know, look at the person, look at the woman, or vice versa, you know, in the wrong way, you already committed adultery. So he changed completely the thing, so that it's not anymore according to the physical dimension, but is what's going on inside you that you have to recognize and deal with. So, you know, he said, you know, now all the commandments are going to be maintained the same on the Old Testament, but now we use them in a different way. I mean, Jesus essentially made the biggest change that you can think in terms of the way we look at the world and the way God deals with us from before, because he introduced a completely new dimension that wasn't there before. But everything he said, he just didn't cancel the stuff that was in the past. He just made it understandable and made it for us to be able to connect with it at a completely new level and a better level. Is that clear? Any question about that? See, that's an important concept. If we don't understand that, then we fall into the same error that I was explaining before. People say, oh, you know, this is new things. Well, I'm sorry, God isn't going to do any new things that are completely different from the past. Any new things is something else for us to understand better what was there before. Okay. So we can move on. You know. The changes that took place in us, the growth process, the transformation that takes place in us with the renewal of the mind. Okay, understanding what that means, you know, how that happens is important, because, you know, if you read, for example, all the ideas from Paul about putting of the old man and putting on the new man, you know, it's very easy to end up trying to do the things according to the law. This is wrong, I put it off. This is right, I put it on. You know, try to force yourself to do a certain, change your behavior. You see what I mean in that? Okay. You do something that you find in the Bible that you shouldn't be doing, or the tree says it's wrong. But evidently you have been doing it, you think that it's, you know, you had to deal with the fact that you want and that was the normal thing for you to do. The thing, you know, it's not just a question, okay, I'm not going to do it anymore now because I read this. Okay, there is more there. There is, you know, often there is a desire to do certain things in a certain way. And it's not a question of, okay, now I'm going to do it because I see that. Well, it's better to start to do that, but that is only a legalistic approach. Okay. What we have to do is actually, you know, open up at the spiritual level about the situation, dig into the situation, see why, you know, we want to do certain things rather than certain other things. What's happening within us that makes us do certain things. And we have to do that, and we have to, you know, look at this word, the word that relates to those things, and, you know, get, you know, the understanding, the revelation from God about the truth about that particular situation. So that, you know, we, and this is what the renewal of the mind is. Okay. It's not just that, you know, don't do this physical thing. The physical thing is always connected to some spiritual truth. And we have to deal with this motivation within us, which actually are the judgment in our heart that need to be changed, but there are going to be, you know, there's going to be resistance from us. That's why we resist change, because our heart is fixed in a certain way. Okay. And so we had to, you know, not just say, well, yeah, you should feel that way. Well, if you can say that and you can force yourself to do that, what happens is that you're going to keep doing it anyway, because you're going to really find it difficult. And you're going to end up going, working in, you know, in maybe in nothing else than, you know, behavior modification. Now, when it's by the Holy Spirit, there is no effort, and it comes from the inside out, not from the outside in. This is both putting off the old man and putting on the new man. What motivates you? What judgment? You know, if you don't know that God loves you, and that, you know, Jesus has resolved all the sin of the past, okay, and that God accepts you the way you are now, and you start still looking at yourself as a sinner, as somebody that, you know, wants to do the wrong thing. Well, in some areas, probably you still want to do the wrong thing because you don't know any better. But if you're really born again, then your desire is to do what God wants to do, you to do. Okay, so, you know, that desire is the problem. You have to see why that desire is there. And so you have to deal with the issues that are involved in it. This is why, you know, it's not a question of just the word says that, I'm going to do that, because that way it doesn't work. That way is Old Testament way, because you are looking at the physical part only. Okay, you are looking at behavior, which is the manifestation of something spiritual inside. You have to deal with the spiritual issue inside yourself. Okay, and this is why in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 says, be renewed in the spirit of the mind, of your mind. It's not just your thinking. It's not just, you know, you have to deal with all the things that are involved in the spirit of your mind, which is the lowest part and the inner part of your mind, which is actually your heart. Okay. Involves all the different things that in your mind, your thinking, your emotions, your feelings, your will, your, you know, your many, many different things, your self-image, you know, so many different things that need to be addressed. And it's going to take time. And this is why, you know, the best way to do that is really taking something and start dealing with it on a spiritual level. That means often spending time with the word, meditating on the word, because in the meditating with the word and opening up to what the God perspective about the whole things is going to change the way you judge things, the way you value things. See, if you think that to do a certain things is good and convenient for you, even if God says don't do it, you end up doing it. Because that's what, you know, when you are not there forcing yourself not to do it, you end up doing it, because that's what happened. That's why the law didn't work, because the heart was not changed. The heart has to change to be able to change your behavior. Then the behavior changes effortlessly. It's not effort anymore. It's not work anymore. We simply are ourselves. It's easy to follow God when you think like God thinks, when you feel like God feels, when you you know, want what God wants. And that is connected to your value and the way you think, the way you judge things. Is that clear? Okay. See, that changes the game, you know, completely. Okay. It's not an imposition anymore. This is why, you know, you take a new person and somebody that comes to the Lord and they get into a religious environment and people start putting pressure on them to conform to what, you know, they are doing. And he's probably, this person is not ready, doesn't understand why, and his thinking is not right to even be able to do it. And it's not going to be succeeding. And he's going to be struggling, you know, trying to do things that he cannot do. And he's probably going to feel guilty, and he's going to be all these other things that really they shouldn't. He should be, helped or discipled to change certain things. You know, people get into religion, and what I mean is that, you know, just follow some rules, and they don't get any free at all, because they are struggling for the rest of their life, trying to be something that they are not. And Christianity is not the way it should be. It's just an imposed behavior that doesn't help, doesn't bring freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And that liberty comes as we are transformed, as we're looking at Him, and we are starting to see ourselves, you know, see ourselves in Him, because we start understanding, we are aligning, our way of thinking lines up with Him. That's where, you know, the law of liberty comes. You know, the ability to really break through comes, because otherwise there is no breakthrough. You're going to go back and forth, struggling with the same things. But when you really received a change in heart in that particular area, there is no struggling anymore. There is peace and there is victory.
Can I ask a question again, Mauricio?
Absolutely.
Sorry. So I made some little notes here on what you were saying. And it's like, if I have this kind of logic, you know, that goes like, okay, the Bible says X, so I'm going to do X, even though I really want to do Y.
Yeah.
When I do that, that is religion. And that
to start with, okay, you can, start to align yourself with that, but you're not going to be successful. If you are really not dealing with the issues inside, why you want to do Y and why you should do X instead, then you're going to always be at the same place. You are really not dealing in a spiritual way about the situation. You're dealing it in a legalistic way. You are really not in Christianity, which is a spiritual thing. You are in religious, which is an imposing rules on you. And you are in the Old Testament, right, not in the New.
Right. Okay, but I like what you said there. So it's like if you start off with that, you know, for a very, it's not a long-term game, but if at the same time I know that the problem is with my heart, because my heart is wanting, it's the desires, the values, which are wanting the wrong thing. If I'm in the Word and I'm focusing on that to get that, you know, to try to get the Word in me so that I get God's values and God's judgments, then that's a longer term game. Then that desire, that wanting the why, that's going to fade and disappear eventually.
Yeah.
Got it.
Well, actually, the breakthrough is, you know, is when you get it, it's instantaneous. There is no, all the struggle is gone. okay, in that particular area. Another area, maybe after you find out. The point is, you know, a new believer that comes from the world is all messed up. All the values, all the things are wrong. Maybe the only thing that is open up to the Lord, okay? But there are many things that he needs to fix up, okay? So, you know, at the beginning, the only thing he's going to try to do is he's going to the things he understands, that they, you know, but some things he doesn't understand. He is not even exposed to these things, okay? So he's not even try anything. But because he's in this environment in which there are certain rules according to what they grew, which, you know, they are people tend to impose them on them, expecting him or she to behave in a certain way when he can't. He should be discipled progressively so that he understands more and more and he can grow into and line himself up, renewing his mind. And so this is the way, you know, but the thing is, the law at the same time is the indicator of things that need to be changed. Okay. And then he has to really understand what and how.
Thank you.
Okay. So essentially, it's being exposed to the God's word. Okay. And that means God thinking. Okay. Allowing that thinking to affect our emotions and our desires and our will, and that end up affecting our heart on the long run. And, you know, then we are transformed, we are changed. And this is talking about the transformation, metamorphosis, which is, means the change of shape. Okay, so it's our shape, you know, the way we are actually changes. It's not the same shape that we had before, you know, and, you know, the following verses, and that you put on a new man, which was created according to God. You see, is the word and the power of the word in us creates a new person, a new personality, new values, new things there, okay? In righteousness and holiness. So you see, this is really, you know, it's not by, you are not going to be doing that way by just doing things physically. You have to do things by connecting with the word, not by, you know, just following rules. It's by perceiving the word, connecting with the word, and sometimes there is not just that topic, but there are other topics that are relevant that they need to be incorporated in our thinking that we are not there yet. So, you know, in some cases, it may take some time because there is a number of logos, a number of concepts and ideas that we had to grow into, that we had to accept, and we had to assimilate. Okay. So, what I'm saying here is when we start working spiritually in this area, okay, then, you know, we had to do that with an open heart. Our heart has to be receptive to this God, these ideas of God. Because if we are not receptive, we are not going to get there. Okay. We had to accept, for example, that, you know, God asked us to do these things because he knows that that's the right thing to do for us, and that's what's going to bless us. Not just, you know, because he said that we had to do it. He said that we had to do it because that his love makes us say those things, because otherwise, he wouldn't. So, you know, we had to open our heart to understanding and responding to the will of God. This is why this way is the way, you know, in Romans chapter 8, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, says, you know, this is the way we are going to know the will of God. If we don't go through this process, we'll never know what God wants us to do. We'll never know the will of God. Because the only way to know the will of God is by actually receiving it in this process. And, you know, and you know, it comes from not just one idea, but all the ideas, all the truth coming together that is going to give us the understanding about all the different parts, one part added to the other. Okay, so this is created according to God. This is really God's way, that he creates a new heart in us and a new spirit, because he put the new spirit inside us, and then a new heart parallels or aligns with God's spirit, and we become a completely different people. What I'm saying is, making these spiritual choices or decisions, we release this power of God to create in us a new person, a new creation. See? Spiritual decisions, not just doing something physically, but just, you know, taking these steps and going through this process that takes different aspects in our soul, is releasing God's power, creative power in us for complete a new life. This is what says actually what I'm saying now is really the same thing as says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Okay, what we do, okay, you know, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body. How do you present your body? I mean, you give yourself, okay? You choose, okay? You choose, you make this decision to repent, offering to God those ideas or those thoughts, those feelings, those emotions, that will, okay? So you present your physical body that wants to do something else. Instead, you know, we had to, you know, give it to God, and he takes over. Okay. And, you know, this is the way we worship him. You know, we give that, okay, that presenting is a sacrifice we give to him, but at the same, you know, the point is, because we are open and we go to the Word, and the Word start ministering to us, and we start receiving revelation about why and how and what should be taking place, and we start experiencing the results, okay, or the understanding the result, then things start to happen, okay? And so instead of being conformed to the world, which is really taking the shape that the world has, we are transformed. That means, you know, we are given a new form, completely new. It's like the transformation, you know, it's like if you have some of those, you know, things like, you know, a cartoon, in which, you know, suddenly you see the transformation between one figure into another. You know, you can see it, a cocoon, and then that becomes a butterfly. Okay, it's completely different being, completely different existence. Okay, this you do, you know, by the renewal of the mind. And this is the way you prove, okay, you identify whether it's the will of God. Because otherwise, you cannot know, because your mind cannot understand it. You can know the law, but you don't understand how really to apply properly. So, and it's that happened by the power of God. It's not happened your ability, your effort, or your things. You see, this is releases the power of God. And you're changed.
What is the what you says that releases the power of God and we are changed? What is that we do that release? Is it meditating on God's word?
Is the decision that we make to engage ourselves in the process, believing God, believing his word, and allowing his word to minister to us, listening to what his word says, and listening to the Holy Spirit guiding us. You know, it's hearing with our ears, so that we are seeing with our eyes, so that we may be healed. That's what Jesus said. You see, our heart has to be connected with him. And today, meditation does that. If we are motivated by the right spirit.
And when one has a wrong spirit or a wrong heart, we have to go back to the Bible and see where it's off. And then what we just present ourselves to God as we are.
Yep. And we have to be willing to listen. The thing is, you see, if you have the wrong spirit of it, probably we are not even going to listen. We are not going, the process is not going to start.
It's a vicious circle. How do you break the cycle to get on the right way?
Observation. You observe the fact that what you say is different what the word says. You identify a discrepancy there. There is something, there's some work to do here. Lord, show me what's going on inside me. Show me the thought, the idea, the will, the desires, the lust, or whatever it is that I have that takes me, that makes me reject what you're saying. See, the word is the, you know, is the thing to we compare ourselves to.
Yeah.
That's the way we see ourselves. That's our mirror. If our mirror is different of what we are, as I said in James, you know, we go away, we see it at the moment, oh yes, this is it, okay, but, you know, we have to want that. We want to allow that to become a reality. And so that we have to work toward that. And we do that by meditating, by being in this, by connecting with God, and God give us revelation about it and plant it in our heart. But meditation is what does it. But the meditation with a person that has the heart in the wrong place is not going to produce the good results. Mm-hmm.
Today, I got
You are muted.
I think he's having trouble with his mic, actually.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm sorry about that. I was okay. Today I had a word came to me, I am the bread of life, which is very encouraging. If Jesus is saying to you, I'm the bread of life, I should be asking him, Lord, you are the bread of life. How can I get fed? I'm hungry. But so I was happy. Maybe that's something I have to meditate on, that verse.
So, you know, I mean, you got, I am the bread of life, which is actually what it says. So it's okay. Why do you have problem knowing what that means to you? I mean, if you are the bread of life, if you want life, you eat the bread. Go and spend time in
the world. I don't know how to do that.
What do you mean? How can you do that? The only way you can do that, you go to the word and eat it.
I thought that means that I should meditate on that verse. That's what I think I need to do.
No, not just that verse.
But that's a good one to start. You know, he told me, come to me in your bankruptcy. Don't turn to the food and the TV. Yeah. So you know where I'm, you know.
Yeah, but
so
the
I'm
point
hungry.
Is,
I'm looking know, for something.
Yeah, but if you are there focusing on the food and the TV that you do not to turn on, you keep looking at them. Look at the things that he wants you to look at. So, you know, he's the true fruit, food, of the bread of life. Start looking at him as the bread of life.
Yeah,
start
he should
what feed. He does. So, you know, to see what he does, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So look at what he did. Look at the way he operated. Look at the word that it says to minister to us. Look at, you know, Romans 12, 1 and 2. You know, look at all these words. And, you know, as you meditate on them and spend time on them, they are going to start working in you and changing the way you feel about everything.
Mm-hmm. And I have wanted to... you know, the Lord said, come to me in your bankruptcy. I don't want to be bankrupt. He's right. I'm not denying the word. I want to be full. I don't want to be bankrupt. But
That's right. So just forget about the bankruptcy. That was the past. The future is that, you know, you come to him. That's yeah. that's the part that you have to implement. Don't the past is past.
Yeah.
The future is what you're going to work on.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. So the point is, you know, with the Holy Spirit, okay, you're going to identify thoughts, ideas, feelings, emotions that they do not line up on what they should be like. That shouldn't make you feel, start to feel, you know, guilty. That should give you the direction of the things you have to move on. That's why, you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't put guilt on people. The devil does. The Holy Spirit makes conviction that you have to act on something. So he brings to you through the word, through the law, through the scriptures, whatever, okay, areas in which you do not line up with the word of God. And as this area, but that, you know, you, there are so many areas that you go and are overwhelmed if you don't understand how to go through this process. Okay, the Holy Spirit is going to deal with one thing at a time. You work on that thing systematically. Okay, let that things work on you. And sometimes there are other things at the same time that he works. But, you know, one thing at a time is going to identify an area that, you know, you had to apply your faith to develop. Okay. And this is really what, for example, Romans 1:17 says. Okay, you discover, okay, which decision you had to work at a certain time. This is why you know, prove the word, the will of God. Okay, Romans 1:17 says, for it is the righteousness of God which is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So, you know, each area, each new decision, each new step you have to take is going to become evident, and you are acting on that. You are not just, you know, okay, I have to do something. Well, if you have to do something and you do nothing, you are lazy and you are not going to implement what the word, you know, you are not listening to the Holy Spirit. He's talking to you and he's wasting his time. What you have to do, if the Holy Spirit tells you something, you have to go into action. And that means you have to implement what the direction is given to you. As you implement this direction, then you are going to see the result because you are taking action. Action, you know, faith is really believing that he talked to you about that thing and you are going to implement it. And as you take action, that application really is because you believe. The faith, okay, that you have in doing that produces the result. And you that means, you know, there is a decision you make, there is a repentance you make, there is a step you take to do, whatever. The thing is, as you do that, this is what happened. Okay, God, faith, the faith of the same faith, you know, is going to be created and you're going to be transformed from faith to faith. Okay, because we are going to start living by faith in a new area that you didn't do before. And it's based on your belief, that you believe the Holy Spirit talked to you and the Holy Spirit showed you the thing. The thing is, the Holy Spirit is critical. I mean, you know, I think that we, in general, Christians don't understand how critical the work of the Holy Spirit is in our life for us to progress, grow, and to develop in the people we have to be. And, you know, that's the only way it's going to happen. It's not going to be our work. It's going to be our sensitivity and our response to what the Holy Spirit say to us. Because he speaks to us. He guides us into all truth. We want to find the truth by the effort we make because we try to do everything in our flesh. That's going to get us nowhere. We have to connect with the Holy Spirit, and then we are going to deal in the things the Holy Spirit is working to us. You know, we are exposed sometimes people trying to tell us what to do. And the Holy Spirit is telling us something completely different that we have to do for us to grow. But we have to make sure it's the Holy Spirit. And, you know, sometimes we can make mistakes in that way. But, we, you know, if it doesn't work, that means it wasn't the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't make mistakes. And we shouldn't justify ourselves. If we didn't hear properly, then we had to readjust the way we think even in that area. But the point is, this is what happened. Okay, this is what takes place in the ability to hear God, the ability to see what God is telling us is critical. Okay? Because the fact that we don't hear God is because we are blinded. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, okay, this business of from faith to faith sees the Holy Spirit guiding us into all truth. Okay, guiding us into all truth, that's his job. Okay, now we can work together with others that they know even that. In that case, we have to be careful that the people don't try to control us, but they help us in moving in a certain direction so that we listen. Okay, but here in chapter 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, that means all, what does it mean all? We all of us, you know, each one of us, no matter who, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. So before I was talking about from faith to faith, now we say from glory to glory. Okay, what's glory? The glory is the manifestation of the glorious manifestation, the excellence, the honorable state that God is bringing us into. Okay, there is that transformation that in the physical is going to be manifested. That's the glory. The glory is the manifestation of God's power, righteousness, and all the things that have to do, all the wonderful things that God is in us, in our life, because it's him working in us. It's not we are trying to be that. It's that he has done the miracle to transform us. But it starts with the faith to take action, to listen. And then as we are, you know, we look at what he's saying, you know, with unveiled face. I mean, you know, what was the problem with the children of Israel when God wanted to talk to them, to guide them? No, just talk to Moses. You see, that's the wrong idea. Okay, not talk to Moses. When the veil was taken off from their eyes, then they were going to start to see. When the veil is, taken off from our eyes, we start to see, and we are being transformed. I mean, there's going to be a metamorphosis, a change of shape in us, into his image, from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So it's the power of the Holy Spirit, not what we are doing. We are doing something. We are making a decision. We are taking a step. We are exercising our faith. Our faith releases the power of God for instantaneous transformation, empowerment to be manifesting God's glory in that particular area. We see the victory over the whatever things we were doing wrong and the manifestation of whatever things God is right manifesting in us. Okay. So, and this is really, you know, if you want metamorphosis, you know, the transformation, that's a metamorphosis, the Greek word, you know, as really a progressive change in shape in us in different areas. And we become more and more like him, just as by the Spirit of the Lord, not by our ability. You know, we contribute, we are working together with him for this manifestation to take place, starting with opening our heart, listening to the Holy Spirit, looking at the difference there, because see, the Holy Spirit is the one going to, you know, point out when we are reading the word, when we are exposing the scripture, you know, we are a scripture to make a correction in our life. You know, he's pointing out that's an area you have to look at. This is what I'm trying to do now. Now, this is something you have to accept. Are you willing to accept? Are you start meditating on it? You allow that to grow in you, to transform you. His power is going to be manifested, you know, and you exercise your faith in that direction. And essentially, you are willing to change. You are willing to move in that direction. And God's glory is going to be manifested in you. Okay. It's a supernatural creation you know, resulting from your decision, which is a spiritual decision to follow God, the Holy Spirit direction in your life. Okay. this is what also is said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 and following. Okay, it says, therefore, from now on, okay, we regard no one according to the flesh. It's not the flesh, it's not the physical thing, it's not the physical things that are important. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him thus no longer. So, you know, to regard is the word idol that actually means, you know, to see, to perceive somebody, you know, look at people, you know, according to the way they appear. Okay, don't be fooled by the people that, you know, the show that people, the things that they say, the show that the people make. That's not the way we should operate, okay? What we know is actually, you know, we have to go into, you know, but we know him, we know Christ according, you know, to the flesh, which actually, you know, is experiencing, you know, the word there is ginosko, okay? It says, therefore, verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, this is really, you know, the things that has to happen. It has to happen, you know, a new creation, a new being there. That is actually the result of God's work in you because of you exercise your faith and his glory is manifested. Okay. It says, now all things are of God, evidently of the things that has been transformed. Okay. Who has reconciled us according to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. See, there is a, you know, the reconciliation means, you know, there is a change in a conflict from a conflict to peace. Okay, so there is a change that takes place in him from something that was different before between us and God to something that lines up now, you know, that is in agreement with. So it's a reconciliation that is not just a theoretical thing, it's actually the fact that we are in alignment with it. Okay. It says that is the God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So, you know, potentially he did that, not imputing their trespasses to them and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So we can go around, you know, telling God, has done this for you, and you can benefit from it. And in this period of time that we are in the period of the church, it's a period of grace in which God applies this to the whole world. Okay. And, you know, he, for this reason, you know, all the sins have been taken care of. But for us to benefit from them, we had to go through this process that he's talking about before, in which we receive what he has done. Our salvation, our deliverance, our freedom comes for us exercising our faith in what he has said in his word to apply to our life so that, you know, the transformation in our mind, the thought, emotion, feel, the you know, desires and everything else until to, up to down to the heart takes place. When that takes place, automatically, in that area we are new. But if we really are born again the proper way, then that desire has to be there. The desire that is in us is to be open, that openness to the speaking of the Holy Spirit, to the direction of the Word. So this is our desire. Whenever we see something, instead of closing our eyes or looking on the other side because we want the other things, we are wanting to move in that direction. And this way, he guides step by step. So salvation is not an instantaneous thing. Salvation is a process by which we are sanctified. I mean, things are dealt with. We are transformed. And God's intention is for us to become like Jesus. Now, we have to understand things that although God is not going in this period, want the whole world, as it says in John 3:16, and we're going to see in a moment, you know, want the whole world to be saved, you know, to become free, okay? At the same time, if we don't respond He cannot protect us. We are protected only to the extent that we are lined up with him. And his desire is to protect us, but he can protect us if we are just obedient, we are listening, you know, and so on. So that's what we had to learn to do. And we had to learn to, you know, in this process to cooperate with him. The enemy is going to be there trying to put us down, to push down, to accuse us of every wrong thing, you know, so real and unreal things, even false things. But, you know, through the word, we had to know what we had to believe and where we had to stand. And we had to take a position. And we had to cast down all imagination and thoughts that are contrary to the word and try to demolish them. And this is a process that has to go on at the same time. And this process is part of the meditation that we have been talking about up to now. Okay, there are all these thoughts, this idea, these things, they have to be submitted to God and to Christ. Now, the fact that God's position is very clear in John 3:16 and following. You know, God, 3:16, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should be not perish, but have everlasting life. Doesn't matter what they've done, doesn't matter anything. The door is open for everybody. But it's conditioned. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him may be saved. So that's why Jesus came. And, he opened the door for us to come in. So the basis for us to get in is for us to believe and to align ourselves with him. So verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. Okay, now being condemned, that means, you know, that the enemy can take advantage of the situation and on them. Okay, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light. You know, and here he's talking about anybody that reject what God says to do is because they want to do their own thing. And they don't want to listen. They don't want to know the truth that the Bible says. And does not come to the light, lest his deed are exposed. So, lest he have to accept the fact that he's doing the wrong thing. But he who does the truth comes to the light, and his deed may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. So, this is really the bottom line. Okay, for us to understand. All this part that we've been talking about shows, you know, the part that we had to play for to really, you know, be able to grow and become the people that wanted us to be. Now, you know, realizing that, okay, legalism and religion, which is a superficial application of that, the law cannot fix spiritual problems. Spiritual problems need to be addressed specifically with repentance, which is that decision we talked about before, which is turning around. I want to change. I want to be the way God says. I trust God. God says the right thing. God loves me. God has done everything that needed to be done for me. I want to benefit from that. I want to connect with him. Okay, I think that I covered lots of stuff tonight. Lots of things to think about. We are going to talk more about legalism and religion next week. How to deal with them. Where are they coming from? I already started introducing that topic, but I really don't think I can cover this now. So I prefer to stop now. About an hour. more than 1 hour, so it's good enough.
That's really helpful, Maurizio. Thanks. That's really, really good.
Thank you. Yeah, the important thing, you know, understanding this, the process that has to take place in us. And the more we understand it, the easier it is to do it. You know, it's not just a question of being legalistic. Actually, it's the opposite of being legalistic. Okay. Because many of the things that actually are legalistically done, they're nonsense anyway. That's not the issue. That's the external thing. It's the internal thing that you have a problem. See, sin is not what we do physically. Sin is what we do spiritually. Now, that often is manifested in the physical. Okay. But even if it's not manifested in the physical, you are separated from God anyway. And if you have the opportunity, you're going to do it in the physical. So you have to deal with the root cause, the sinfulness that comes from wrong position of the heart. This is why you see that's where false prophets and false teachers, you know, comes from a heart problem. And so it has to be the evaluation of them. It's not just to look at the exterior things, it's a question of looking at the spiritual component of the situation. And that's what I did before last week. Okay. Any questions? Is it clear? Do I have to explain a bit better some things?
Yeah, I have a question. We have to address problems spiritually, specifically. Like, for example, we live in a world where really nobody's going to come to you and say
forget
things.
Forget about the others.
All right. Okay.
You and God.
Right.
You think too much about other people. Your relationship with God is your relationship with God, is not your relationship with other people. That's where it starts. Okay. That's where the change happens. Not, you know, the one with people is another things that take place, but it's not the where the source of the victory is. The first of the victory is your relationship with the Holy Spirit, listening to the Holy Spirit and, you know, allowing him to give direction so that you can make the right decision, you can focus your attention on the things that need to be addressed. And you start allowing the exercising your faith to implement those changes that are at the heart level and the thinking level and changing thought and idea. And this is where really the issue is. Thinking, the mind, they start with the renewal of your thinking. So you cast down imagination and any thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. When you start to do that, you deal with that, you submit that to God, you start lining up with that, then you start understanding things.
Yeah, yeah. But it has to be coupled with the knowledge of reading scriptures and putting time into it. That's important too.
Well, that's definitely. It's not just reading, it's thinking about them. It's using them, meditating them, you know, applying and pondering on them. What use the word, it doesn't matter which word you use. But unless you do thinking, it's not, you know, it's not just reading, it's not just studying. You have to apply to yourself.
Yeah, you want to implement.
What does it mean? What does it mean in my life? What does involve in my life? What does imply for me to do? What, you know, what this effect is going to make in the way I see, I judge things, I do things. So, you know, that process of thinking and application, you know, make you deal with the conflict between your thoughts and the Word of God. And in that conflict, you know, you have to cast down imagination, any thought and idea that is contrary to the Word, and accept the Word of God. But, you know, just not because, you know, you have to understand it, you have to apply it, you have to really start, you know, experiencing it.
Right, okay, okay. I know somewhere in Genesis, God said it's good for a man to, it's good to have a partner. But then
that's not the issue.
No,
that's not an issue.
No, that's just one scripture.
Sometimes a partner makes things more complicated. It's not, you know, a partner doesn't resolve a relationship with God. Sometimes makes it more complicated because, you know, first there is one person struggling with God, and there are two people struggling with God. And when there are two different struggles. So that doesn't help necessarily.
Okay, I understand. Okay, good. Good. That's because in my position, I have to deal with myself just the way it is and be patient when I lose, when I forget something. Oh my God, this is what I got to ask the Lord. I'm sorry, Lord.
Well, that's easy. Patience. Patience is the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah, because I forgot something at a pharmacy that was most important.
The point is, you know, patience is a fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
If the Holy Spirit is going to tell you, okay, that, okay, just relax, let go, listen to me, be at peace, it's no big deal. Okay. And as you yield to the Holy Spirit, instead of yielding your feeling, your reaction, your emotions, then, you know, the Spirit is going to be stronger and you're going to be experiencing more of peace. Because that's what happens when you focus on him instead of focusing on the feeling and reaction of things. Reacting to things doesn't do any good.
I focused on the solution and the Spirit said, well, there you go. You found your answer.
Yeah.
And solved the problem. So.
Okay. Anybody else? Any other questions? See, this is the thing that, go ahead.
I found the lesson very interesting, but it's almost intimidating because I see many areas in my life that I need to go to him for, to change. Uh-huh. And it's,
You see, the thing is, you know, it's not what, you see, he is the one leading. You see, you should be the backseat driver.
Okay.
He's the one leading, but you have to go with him. You don't go, you know, don't tell it, you know, you see, the point is, he's your, let me change the metaphor. Okay, he is your GPS.
Ah, yes. Okay.
Your GPS.
And I just follow him.
The GPS, you don't know where you're going. You're in an area that you have no idea where is yet to go next. You know that he knows the direction that you have to take. You depend on him 100%. You have to learn to do that because this is the only way you're going to get anywhere.
Okay.
So, but the fact is that you know how you feel when you go with the GPS. Okay, all the fear about not knowing where you're going is gone. You know, you're not overwhelmed anymore by a big map that you don't know where to look at and everything else. Next, you know, turn right, turn left, take this, you know, stop here. You know, that's all you do. Mm-hmm. He takes the lead. You take the following.
All right.
You just follow.
Okay.
That should eliminate all the overwhelm.
Yeah.
Okay. Because that's what does the GPS does that to us. Okay. We are not overwhelmed anymore if we trust the GPS. If we don't trust the GPS and the GPS is always wrong, then yes, you know, then we probably are nervous. But if we really trust the GPS, and we have tried a few times and it works very well, then we relax and we follow the direction, okay? Even if sometimes doesn't use the best way to go there, he gets us there.
Amen. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Maurizio.
You're welcome. This is why the Holy Spirit is the key to New Testament people. Without the Holy Spirit and without learning to follow the Holy Spirit, we end up being Old Testament people. And this is unfortunately far and just religious, like the Old Testament. If we don't connect with the Holy Spirit and learn to depend on Him and allow Him to guide us, that's what Jesus said. You know, I send you a helper, and that helper, okay, is going to guide you into all truth. He's going to show things to come. He's going to show what you have to do next. That's mean, okay? He's not going to prophesize about the world. He's going to talk about the things to come about you. Okay, you don't need to be a prophet to do that. This is for every believer. Should have the guidance to get each step. But as we start to do that, then we are going to be able to move, because each step we take is from faith to faith, from glory to glory. It's more of a manifestation of God in us. We become more and more like Jesus. I think it's a very an exciting, you know, reality to come to realize. I find it much more exciting and overwhelming. I may find challenging to actually do it. And so this is where the thing that we had to focus is, you know, to respond to the challenge of letting that, you know, actually doing it, of learning. And maybe, you know, I may have to do some more teaching on the Holy Spirit. But that's critical. You see, this, you know, Jesus is, you know, advantageous to your advantage for me to go away, because otherwise I can, you know, can't send the Holy Spirit. If I go away, I send the Holy Spirit, and He is going to be the whole, you know, it's like me, it's like Jesus inside you all the time, guiding you. He has given us the GPS 2,000 years ago, much earlier than anybody ever thought about it.
Mm-hmm. It's learning to follow the GPS.
Yeah.
To trust the GPS.
That's right.
Yeah,
but you know, okay, that's everything about trusting God, isn't it? So it's the same thing. Okay.
Amen. All right. Thanks, Maurizio.
In addition, yeah. In addition to that, we have the Word also, from which we can check any of the GPS direction, because we don't need to jump into anything. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's not just because I got this crazy idea, and some people get crazy idea, and it's the enemy. So, you know, any idea, crazy or not crazy, you go and check it out.
Yeah, it's got to be checked with the Word. Yeah.
Okay? So you take your time.
Yeah.
God is not in a rush. He has all the time in the world. He's been around from the very beginning, so He's not in a rush. We may be a bit rushy sometimes. This is why we have to be careful not to do that way, because... that way we can, the enemy comes, give some crazy idea, and we just want to follow. And we find ourselves wrong. And then we say, you know, well, this stuff doesn't work. No, you haven't taken the time to really, you know, evaluate what you were getting.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Maurizio.
You're welcome.
So, Pastor, you mentioned that salvation is a process, that we are, you know, where we are sanctified.
Yeah.
So, like you said, we just need to, you know, be patient with ourselves too, and just go listen to the Holy Spirit and do what we need to do.
That's a natural thing. I mean, you know, yes, we can't be more than, you know, different people are at different places. you know, the commitment that they have to that process produces the difference in the speed in which they are going to grow.
Okay. I mean,
and the understanding down. And the understanding that they have about the process. How they are much they are they connected with the Holy Spirit? How much instead they're doing things religiously and they don't have a clue what they're doing. That doesn't save anybody. And I'm going to talk about legalism and religion next week, because that is where the problem, you know, to them of many Christians have, and lots of people are more religious than anything else.
And you mentioned, Pastor, we need to cast down all things that are not right. So as we are growing into this process of salvation, sometime you go four step ahead and you back up six step to go four more steps. So it's also to understand that.
Yeah, but there are, you know, the thing is, there are different things, different idea, different aspect of the things that you have to deal with. You start with one, then you find out another, then maybe you have to go back on the other previous one, but you know, you just have to keep, you know, you have to used to start improving each step you take. And if you are open to the Holy Spirit, and if you take the right approach to evaluate the direction you get, and not just blindly, you know, go with the wind, then yes, so you're going to be seeing progress taking place.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I hope that you benefited some tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, that give us, Lord, the reference point to go to check ourselves. Lord, give us an ability, Lord, to verify the things that we receive from the Holy Spirit, and enable us, Lord, to have confidence that the things that we receive, Lord, are according to your thought and your will. We ask you, Lord, that as we, Lord, come to your word, Lord, that we may be sensitive, appreciating, Lord, the great, great gift that is to us, Lord, the great power that has to, Lord, enable us to see, Lord, in a logical and rational way how things work and how for us how to think, how to understand things, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, that as we, Lord, go to your word, Lord, that we may be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, Lord, and not to the ideas and traditions, Lord, of men and teachings of men, Lord, but you, the truth that you are revealing it, Lord, that we may be able to see it, receive it, and put it to work in our life so that we can see, Lord, our faith growing from faith to faith, and our behavior and action, Lord, to grow from glory to glory, manifesting, Lord, your life, your freedom, your victory, Lord, in us. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for the things that we are going to see, Lord. We believe, Lord, that we are in a time in which these things are going to speed up and become an accelerated pace, Lord. And the Lord, because Jesus is coming to come back soon, Lord, that we may be ready, Lord, when he comes, so that we can be, Lord, part of his rapture, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.